Hi, my name is Stuart Clark, and you might know me from my many contributed modules as deciphered on Drupal.org. This is episode 35 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now, your host. He once had a nightmare about the TV show ALF. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Stuart Clark. Stuart is the lead developer of Reality Loop, which organizes two monthly Drupal community events, one meetup and one mentoring event. And he's a proud owner of 665 commits on Drupal.org. And today we're going to be talking about a few of those modules, that is WYSIWYG Fields, Custom Formatters, Configuration Builder, and his latest setup. So Stuart, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love the fact that I'm able to talk to someone in the future.
Yes, Monday 10:30 is going very well so far, so you've got lots to look forward to.
Good. The apocalypse hasn't happened yet.
Not yet. We're still on track.
Great. Well, in another 15 hours, I'll see if you're telling the truth or not. All right. Well, do you want to go ahead and start out by telling us a little bit about you and who you are, where you're from, that kind of thing?
Sure. Okay. Well, my name is Stuart Clark. I've been involved with Drupal for about 6 years. I'm a self-trained developer, just passionate about the work that I'm doing. I'm located in Ballarat, Victoria, Australia, which is basically known to be the coldest place in Victoria. It drops about 3 or 4 degrees Celsius from all its neighboring towns. And I absolutely love it exactly for that reason. And yeah, that's me.
Cool. So then how did you get started with Drupal if you're self-taught?
Yep. So I was always sort of, I self-taught myself Perl to start with, and I was always interested in web development. And over time I sort of, you know, did the standard thing and built my own custom CMS and, you know, played around with all sorts of other little tools. I used to work with a flat file database CMS called Caranto, which was basically server-side include based. And after that failed me one too many times, I sort of, I don't know, I didn't specifically seek out anything. I stumbled onto Drupal randomly. I was involved in another little community project, and I saw in a forum post something about the guy releasing his Drupal theme back to Drupal.org, and I'm like, what's this Drupal thing? So yeah, that was how it started. I just sort of stumbled on there randomly, stuck around on the forums for a while, which is a fairly fruitless task. And eventually I just got into it. I taught myself. I started building sites as a hobbyist, started building modules as a hobbyist, got some training, and yeah, threw myself in the deep end and started doing it professionally.
Cool. Then what's the most recent project, or what's something you've been working on recently?
So we've been doing, as Reality Loop, the company, we've been doing a few different projects lately. We've just started another big one that's going to keep us going for a few months, which not much I can talk about on that one for the moment, but we've done a fair bit of rebuilding of sites, a project called WikiCurve, which is a statistics-based system for determining public sentiment of issues. And that one has recently been featured in a couple of the local newspaper, the national newspapers in Australia, The Age, Sydney Morning Herald. That's a great project. But as for other aspects of things we've been doing lately, we've been, the thing that I like doing the most in Drupal is obviously module development. So we've been trying to sort of make a name for ourselves, building custom modules for our clients. We have a project we recently did for the State Library of Victoria. And as part of the development of the site, they sponsored the development of a module called Deep Zoom, which ties in with Microsoft's Deep Zoom application for zooming in and out of images. So that was a really good project that I actually got to build the module that coincidentally I had wanted to do months before anyway, but didn't have the time, and they paid for it. That sort of thing is basically what we've been doing.
Cool. Okay, so at the beginning I said we're going to be talking about four of your modules, WYSIWYG fields, custom formatters, configuration builder, and setup. We're going to leave setup for last because that's your newest one, so I want to give that one, you know, some love at the end. Let's start out with WYSIWYG fields. Now, this is really the only one of the four that I've actually used. I took a look at it, and I actually installed it on a dev site for a client for a site that I'm building, and they seem to like it pretty well too. So for those who, you know, haven't heard of it, why don't you start out by describing what WYSIWYG fields does?
Sure. WYSIWYG fields is the solution for the ever-present Drupal problem with inline image management, but that's just the basics of it. Like, it came from a module which was only about inline image management called WYSIWYG Image Field, because as a site builder, I was, you know, I was getting ridiculously frustrated at having to use IMCE on any of my sites. It does the job for the clients, but it doesn't do it in a Drupal way. It keeps the images outside of Drupal's database. It doesn't allow you to deal with any of the actual advantages of using Drupal fields. So WYSIWYG fields is an attempt to leverage the existing Drupal field system, similar to the way that the insert module does. So you upload an image to a standard image field, and then you insert it into the body or your WYSIWYG. What WYSIWYG fields does that insert doesn't specifically do is it integrates it directly into the WYSIWYG. So you'll have a WYSIWYG plugin, which will be, say, a icon of an image. You'll click that, you'll get a pop-up which allows you to upload your image, and then you get a little options section where you can choose the formatter you want to use. So most people will be familiar with the image formatter, where you can then choose the image style and if it links to anything, and then you hit insert and it will inject that code directly into the WYSIWYG, and there you go.
Okay. So I kind of want to clarify this real quick. What exactly do you mean by this works in a Drupal way?
Okay. So the Drupal way being that it leverages the existing field system. So IMCE is basically just a plugin for WYSIWYGs. It uploads somewhere in your Drupal site as per anything you want done in Drupal. But once it's there, it's not managed by Drupal. So say if you wanted to have a view of all images that you've uploaded, well, that data from IMCE isn't tracked by Drupal, so therefore views can't leverage it straight out of the box. Gotcha. If you wanted to apply a formatter, such as the image formatter, you couldn't do that the IMCE way because Drupal doesn't know how to deal with that file specifically.
Okay, so I gotta try and wrap my brain around how to say this out loud. I can picture how this works, but you've got a video on YouTube showing how to use this, don't you?
Yes, there's a few videos back from, I think, a couple of years ago. They're more about the Drupal 6 version. The Drupal 7 version is where all the focus is at the moment. There is still probably the one key feature in the video that's shown is the ability to upload multiple images and insert them all in one go, which is the bit that everyone would always look at in the video and go, wow, that's amazing, can I do that now? In Drupal 6 version, you still can. In the Drupal 7 version, I have not yet ported that particular piece of functionality. But yeah, the videos are definitely worth watching to get an idea of what it does.
Okay, I'll definitely add the link to that video then on the show notes. Just because I don't think I could explain it quite as well as you can.
The
watch
simplest
it,
way to look at it is the ability to insert an image directly into your WYSIWYG and have it nicely formatted, and also then go back at a later stage and update that formatting to a different format if you wish. If you were to do it via IMC and say you wanted to change the presets of the image style so that all of the images inserted with this style set change to a different size, you know, you can only do that by using something like WYSIWYG image field, WYSIWYG fields, sorry. Right. Even I get confused sometimes.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot anyways, even though I said I wasn't. But basically, this is for content editors or creators or whatever. When they're creating the content, it looks to them like the image is inside the body instead of having to upload an image separate from the body field. But then you also have the ability to like create a gallery of a particular article content type or whatever, and use the images that you've uploaded because they are actual fields and not inside the body. Is that correct?
Exactly, 100%. Cool. And the thing about WYSIWYG fields, the reason why I started WYSIWYG fields after originally building WYSIWYG image field is that it occurred to me during the development of WYSIWYG image field, why does this need to be restricted to images? Mm-hmm. Lots of things can be inserted into a body, and lots of things you still want to have that control, the same control that you would have over those images. You might want to have a icon in your WYSIWYG for testimonials. So you put a little quote inside of a piece of content, and then you might want to make a view for all testimonials, which will just take those quotes and display them only, not the rest of the content. You might want to insert user references into a piece of body or node references. Say you have a content type called adverts. You might want to just shoot a single advert pre-formatted using display suite or views or however you choose to do that directly in line in a piece of content. And WYSIWYG Fields allows you to do that.
Hmm. Cool. Okay, then my very last question is, and a lot of people are probably thinking this too, but how is this different from using the media module and the WYSIWYG combo?
Sure. The main difference is that the media module, its WYSIWYG integration, it is limited to the formatting styles that media allows for you. Or at least it was the last time I looked into this. And it only tackles very basic use cases. So if you want to do something like a node reference straight away, that's out of the question because a node reference isn't media. Or if you wanted to do something overly complex to the formatting of your media that you're inserting, like use the custom formatters module to write your own custom formatter that, say, integrates it with some sort of color box, as well as having some custom JavaScript for hovering over the image and showing you the title text, that sort of thing. Once you get down those levels of complexity, the media module's integration wasn't quite good enough. And I did speak to Dave Reed at DrupalCon Denver this year, and I showed him through WYSIWYG Fields, and he was pretty happy with what he saw. So there is an issue on the media module saying, you know, maybe we should drop the standard WYSIWYG integration and go with WYSIWYG Fields, which I think would be wonderful. It's just really a matter of getting the movement of the developers onto the WYSIWYG Fields module to polish it up and make sure it can be used. But media module and WYSIWYG Fields module can, at the moment, work together.
Okay. That's good to know. So for a second there, I thought you almost had like a scripted transition into custom format when you started talking about it.
It did cross my mind, yes.
So also I thought this would be a good time to go ahead and move on to custom formatters. So, but before we actually talk about the module, let's make sure everybody's kind of on the same page as to what a formatter is. So can you quickly just explain what you mean by a formatter?
Sure, sure thing. Okay, so most people would be familiar with fields in Drupal, an image field. So the field is about the data, taking the data in that the user provides and storing it in the database. The formatter, a field formatter, is about taking that data from the database and displaying it in the way that most appeals to your site. So in the case of an image field, the image is storing a file into the database, the URI of the file, the MIME information of the file, and that's basically it. So that's not really that interesting to actually just dump out on your page. The image module comes with a single formatter out of the box, which ties in with the image styles functionality, so that when you're displaying that image data, you're actually displaying it as a rendered image in a specific style that the user has chosen, and that is the formatter.
Okay. So then what can you do with the custom formatters module?
Sure. Well, the custom formatters module, I suppose before I get into it, I'll just give you a quick story on, you know, how it came to be in the first place.
Okay, sure.
Yet another one of my modules that I haven't mentioned to you is a module called Drag and Drop Uploads. And the premise of that was that you simply drag a module, a image from your desktop and drop it into either a WYSIWYG or a body field, and that file will be uploaded to Drupal via a standard file or image field, and then injected into the WYSIWYG or body field. Hmm. And early in that module, I had an issue opened by a user, and he said it would be really great if there was some way that I could customize the HTML that got put into the WYSIWYG. And I said to him, well, the module just uses the Drupal's formatter system, so just write one. You know, anyone can write a formatter because that's what the Drupal API hooks are for. You can just define the hooks and write the code, and there you go. What's the problem? And I dismissed it very quickly, but I think about a week later, the idea was still in my head, and I was like, well, I suppose it's not that easy. Like, if you don't know how to develop custom modules for Drupal, then if you do want to write a custom formatter, there is actually no simple way. So custom formatters was about that. It was about making a user interface that a site builder could come along to and could build their own custom formatters.
Okay, so you mentioned to me before that it uses the Form Builder module. How is that integrated?
So in Drupal 7, one of the most exciting advances I saw in Drupal 7 personally was that they added formatter settings. So in Drupal 6, a formatter was a formatter. A good example of where formatter settings comes into play, again, is the image module. Back in Drupal 6, you had image and image cache, image field and image cache, and every single image cache preset that you created a formatter. So if you had a website that had 100 formatters, then you, 100 presets, you would have 100 formatters when you went to select the formatter to display the image at. And that could get a little bit clunky. So in Drupal 7, they implemented formatter settings, which meant that in the case of the image module, you could have a single formatter, and then you could actually set up how that formatter would process the data. So you will see a little cog on the side of the formatter on the Manage Display page, and you'll click that, and it'll expand some additional options. And when I saw that, I was like, that's amazing. How do I do that myself in custom format? It's like, how do I get people to define that? It was simply using the standard Drupal Forms API, but the only way that at that time that I could think to do that would be to have people write the standard Drupal Form API into a text box, and it didn't really appeal to me. So I came across QuickSketch's Form Builder module, and that allows you to drag and drop Form Builder elements into a section on your settings page and easily create a nice form. So that's what Custom Formatters now does. You can, as long as you've got the Form Builder module enabled, you can build up an easy formatter settings page.
Cool. So that's like using checkboxes, radio buttons, text
exactly.
Things like that.
Yes. Yep.
Cool. And you've also got customformatters.com. What is that website for?
Yep. So one of the best parts about Custom Formatters is that you can export the formatters into either a feature using CTools exportables, or you can export it as the standard Drupal API hooks and put that into your module. Customformatters.com is basically the idea behind it, again, based on an issue queue, people saying, like, can we have somewhere where we can share some of these formatters so we can actually find if someone has done something that we want to do and just import that into Custom Formatters, or put that in a feature and share it across multiple different sites. So customformatters.com is exactly that. It's a repository for custom formatters. At the moment, it's just for me to actually share them to the world. The plan is that in a future build of the site, I will actually open it up so that people can then sign up to the site and submit their own formatters for other people to use. And in the long run, I would even like to actually have some integration between the custom formatters module and the website, so that you could actually submit a formatter from within your website, or even browse the customformatters.com formatters and pull one directly into your website, or sync them when they update. Like, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yep. And the site is a it's my first experiment into the world of open source websites. So all of the source for the website is available on GitHub. And anyone who wants to actually contribute to the site can do that as well. You can just fork the code from GitHub, tweak the features, add some modules, you know, build in some additional functionality that you want to see on the website, and then request a merge request. So if I think that the code is good enough to be published to the site, you can have then committed changes to the actual live site.
Cool. All right. So if somebody wanted to help you along with opening it up to the public to submit their own formatters, they could just go and do that.
That would be ideal. I would love someone to come along and do that.
What, you like, you're busy or something?
extremely. Yes, no, life wasn't meant to be easy and laid back.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good module. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we move on to the next one?
I guess, like, the one thing I should say is that custom formatters, as much as it is intended to be for site builders, it is still a bit of a developer module. I think the first or the second iteration of the module after I released it, I sort of had a brainwave that the way that custom formatters works, primarily being still an interface for writing PHP code, wasn't good enough for a site builder. So I did implement the ability to use HTML and tokens to write simple formatters. And that was definitely targeted more towards site builders. And that could potentially be really good in Drupal 7, but there's still a few things with formatters that are going down with, you know, field tokens. Sorry, I think I said formatters there. Field tokens still need a little bit of work before it will be easy enough for site builders to use. So it is a developer's module, and it is written in a way that you can just use it to build your formatters and then export it to code and turn the module off completely once you're done.
Okay, so that's something you'd want to use on your development site, but Absolutely. Just export the code, yep, and push it up to your live
there
site.
Are benefits, okay, to using it as well on your actual production site, or at least your staging site, and not exporting to the code, such as the ease of modifying the formatter as you go. But it really depends on the style of the developer. So it's available for both methods, really.
Okay, cool. All right, well then let's go to our third module, which is the Configuration Builder module. And this one was actually featured on a Module Monday recently, so that was pretty cool.
That was extremely cool.
Yeah. Did you know he was going to be doing that, or?
I had no idea. It was actually my business partner, Brian, that mentioned to me, oh, by the way, did you see that your module's been featured? Like, what? Awesome. but no clue.
Cool. So I guess, what is the Configuration Builder, or maybe why did you need to write it? What does it do? Lots of questions, sure, about this one.
Okay. This comes from an idea I had again years ago. Basically, I was working at another shop, and my coworker would put in little snippets of text in places that the client would want to modify. So an example would be, say, in the footer of the website, there'd be a little snippet of text, and the client would want to, you know, come in from time to time and change that. And what we were doing then was just writing a custom page with some form API elements on it, so a text field, a text area box, whatever, and a save button, and that would save to the variables table in the database. So the data that was being displayed at the bottom of the page was just pulling straight from the variables table. And I had the idea back then that, you know, that is something that we might do from time to time, and there should probably be a better way to do it. But at the time, there really wasn't. And I had all sorts of different ideas, but nothing that I could really act on. And recently I came across a similar issue where I had a custom module for a client site, and they wanted the ability to change a certain piece of data at a later time, but they didn't know what the data was going to be changed to yet. So I figured, you know, I've got to build some sort of form for them to be able to update that data. And it occurred to me that, you know, this might be the opportunity now that I had already played with the form builder module in custom formatters and had, you know, all this knowledge of how to build that sort of system, I may as well put it to use. So I built the Configuration Builder module, and that is exactly that. It's a module that allows you to create a configuration form using the form builder module to drag and drop checkboxes, text areas, text fields, what have you, onto the page. Set a page title for the form, and I mean a page URL, and set restriction on who can actually access that page as well. So based on role or based on certain permissions, and it was easy as that.
Cool. So I guess what's your long term plan for this module?
Well, one of the things that I did with the module, I basically added one of the existing forms, the configuration forms from Drupal.org, into my module as sort of an overridden version of that form, which basically means that if I have the whim to change the way that that existing Drupal.org form looks, I want to rearrange the positions, I want to have the field sets collapsed instead of open, I can do that with that existing field, that existing form. So from that, it occurred to me that it would be really nice if you could actually do that with any form, say any module out there that's building a configuration form could simply build their standard one using the form API, and they could package alongside that a configuration builder exportable, because all the forms that you build with configuration builder are, as in custom formatters, they are exportable both as CTools exportables to be packaged with a feature, or they're also exportable as, again, Drupal API hooks, so you could just take the standard code and place it in your custom module as is. But the idea would be that, you know, a module would build their own form, then they'd build their own configuration builder version of that form. So in the case that the configuration builder module happened to be there and present, someone could come along and modify their form without actually messing with anything. And that's kind of what I'm hoping will happen. I know I'll be doing it with my own modules. Anything that fits the criteria will have a configuration builder form package along with it.
Okay, so that will require some work from module developers to actually enable that functionality, is that right?
Yes, and I could do that on their behalf as well, but the downside to that is if they changed their forms, then I would have to then chase behind them and change my form as well and then release a new version of Configuration Builder. The idea would be either they could build the form with the Configuration Builder form in the tool in the first place and just export it both as an exportable and as the Drupal API code, or they could just go in once they've already built their form in their module and build a quick configuration builder page that mimics the exact functionality and look of their existing form and just export that into their module.
Okay. And I think you were telling me before we started recording, this comes with a example module?
It comes with a example of a existing overridden form. So I think it's the site maintenance page, the site information page actually comes along just to showcase that functionality. So all you do is you turn on that particular form. And if you're looking at the standard Drupal site information page, you'll now see, if you have the contextual module turned on, you'll see a little cog floating at the top, and you can click on that. You can jump back into Configuration Builder, and you can edit that page as you want.
Okay, cool. So people can kind of play with that to see what it can do before they start from scratch.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Okay, that was pretty short, but anything else you want to mention about that one?
Look, I mean, that only really covers the basics. There's a few extra things that the module does that I should really point out.
Okay, why don't you go ahead.
There's a fantastic module that another developer has written called Variable. And this module, it basically adds what could be a standard API hook to Drupal, which is hook variable info. And the idea behind that is that any module out there that defines their own variable will also implement this function and tell what they are. Like, so if you're familiar with the standard variables in Drupal, you have variables like site underscore title is actually, I think a site underscore name is the standard name of the Drupal site. But just knowing that machine ID of that variable isn't much. You don't know, it's obvious by the name what it is, but it might not be obvious to everyone. So with hook variable info, you'd say, this is a description of this variable. This is the type of form that this variable would expect to be rendered, so that you could make your own form somewhere in your site. So it's a text field, not a text area, not a select box. And in conjunction with that module, so that someone contacted me and told me about the module, which I'd never heard of before, and because Configuration Builder is essentially about making forms that are saving into the variables table, they pointed out that there may be some crossover that we could, you know, figure out how to make the modules work together well. So mm-hmm. I looked into that module and I had a play around with it. And the one obvious thing that came up was that because if you have that variables module enabled, you've got extra information about a bunch of variables that I didn't have before. I could have in the form builder a way to actually drag and drop a existing variable that's been defined. So say I want the site slogan box in one of my new forms that I'm building with Configuration Builder. I don't need to know what to expect, like what sort of data, what sort of widget to actually render. I don't have to tell it myself. I don't have to drag a text area and call it site slogan. I can just drag a special form builder element that I created with the variable module, and it'll pop up and say, which variable do you want to use? And you can select out of the list of all these variables that have already been predefined by that module. So I can say, all right, I want it to be the site slogan, and it'll render out as a text area, and I'll have some details below it about what is supposed to go in that one. And then I can change that to be the site name, and it'll swap to be a text field, or I can change it to be site maintenance, and it'll swap to be a checkbox. So it's a really good way of actually simplifying the process of making a unified settings form, taking existing bits of other settings forms and placing them all into one form.
So I'm picturing this on a site where you've got the client is going to be entering their own information, but instead of them having to go to 10 different configuration pages, you create a single page that contains everything that they'll need to be able to change or edit. And they can just go to that one page to take care of all of that.
Exactly. Like the best use case I think that most people will fall on is things like having the Google Analytics ID code and the site name and a few little bits and pieces like that that they're likely to need to edit, instead of giving them administer site information so that they get overwhelmed with, like, should I be turning the site into site maintenance? Or if I'm dealing with Google Analytics, should I be caching the JavaScript locally? Like, you don't Right. always need to give them that much power. Sometimes you just want to give them just these specific settings, and aggregating them in one place, one single settings form instead of 10. It's a wonderful thing.
Awesome. I'll have to look into that a bit more later. But yeah, that sounds really cool. Okay, so any last words for that?
Play with it. Just, you know, I kind of want to get feedback from a lot of people too, because it's fairly new. I mean, the idea I've had for many years, but it was only released maybe 3 weeks ago, and either everyone's really happy who's used it so far, or I don't know. I haven't heard much about it, so I would like to know what people think of it.
Okay, definitely. Cool. All right, well then, moving on from one new module to your newer module, the setup module. This one, I did see a little bit something about this one. I don't remember where I saw it, but what does this module do for people who haven't actually seen it at all?
Sure. Okay, so the setup module is basically my idea of allowing the developer or even the site builder to provide people with a better first run experience on their Drupal site. So it's probably going to get more traction in the world of distributions, which is the world that I like to spend a lot of my time, where if you have a distribution that, say, it's just your local development, your development shop distribution that sets up the site with a bunch of modules that you're going to use every time and some starter kit theme stuff using maybe Omega or Zen. If you're doing that, this module can allow you, so say as the developer building that distribution, to put in a scripted setup wizard so that the first time that a certain, like whoever you choose, so it could be the first time that your site builder accesses this site, so they've just installed a new copy of the distribution, and instead of going to the front page on your Drupal site, you'll get presented with a scripted setup wizard, which might have things like welcome to your new site, please enter a site name, please enter a site slogan, choose a theme to use for the first time. So a better example of that sort of use case is if you are building a product that you wish to sell to multiple users that is just going to be a set and forget product. It's a site that is pre-configured to do a bunch of things without any customization. And during the install process, these clients will then get presented with this setup wizard, which will show off some of their site or say, like, if you want to create a new piece of content, here is what the admin menu looks like. Here is the link that you click. Here is what you expect to see when you're creating a new piece of content. Or here is 10 preset themes that we've provided for you. Choose which one that you want to use and then maybe customize that theme by changing the color settings for that theme so it's more you, or upload a background image so you get your own custom background image. The setup module is for that sort of thing. It's to allow the developer to say they will see this step, which has a screenshot on it. Then they'll see this step, which has some form fields so that they can, say, set their Twitter handle or their Facebook page. And then it'll have this step where they choose the theme that they want to use for the site. And then it'll have this step, and so on.
So this makes me think of the way apps have gone, where if you install an app, like a social media app, it actually walks you through the setup process for that module, basically. But this is for like an entire site.
Exactly. Yep. And that's, you know, a perfect analogy. That is the model that I went for. So, yeah, you can just, you know, welcome to your new site. Here are some things that you can do with your new site. Click here to, you know, to start using your site.
Right.
And it's not just for the first run, it's for any type of first run setup. So let's say the first time you install the site, sure. But another example is if you're building a completely new phase of a project and you want to tell the client what's changed, you can actually re-trigger, like build a new setup script and have that set to trigger when the new version of the site is deployed, and the client will go through and say, you know, here's what's changed. Here's where you now go to modify something where it was previously in another section of the menu. We've moved it, and this is telling you how to get there.
So could that be used for site visitors as well? Like if the login button used to be in the top right, and now we've moved it to the right sidebar, for example, or something like that. Like it, they could, when they first come to the site, they could have a little thing that says, we've moved this, this is where it is now.
In theory, the idea for me is to eventually have it, at the moment, it's primarily for like the administrator, and that it will sort of like lock your site down during the process that you're going through it, so it's not really meant for production use.
Okay.
The plan, however, is to make it so you can say users of this role will see this setup script when they log in the first time after it's turned on.
Okay.
So if you've got a site like customformatters.com and I've just released a new build of the site, built it up on GitHub and deployed it out, then the first time the users who have already been signed up on the site log in, it'll say, welcome to version 0.5 of the site. These are the things that have changed, and this is what you now do. And it'll just, mark that user as having gone through the setup, and it won't annoy them again.
Okay, so I'm thinking of two examples now. I built a site for a school district not too long ago, and if I wanted to, reconfigure the way the teachers interact with their classes on the site, I could then say, all the teachers, when they log in the first time, they're going to get this setup thing that says, here's where your class list is now, this is where your grades go, that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And as I said, it's not there yet. The version of the module that's out there now, I think, is just still in beta. So it was just targeting my specific use case. But as I just said, my use case is leaning more towards that as well for my own site. So expect to see that in the future.
Cool. Excellent.
And again, as per all of my other modules, I like to try and keep things tied in as much as possible. So this module does tie in with both Configuration Builder. So if you've built a form in Configuration Builder, that form can then actually be one of the steps in the setup. So you can just use it uses simple syntax like the profiler module in a .info file. So inside of your setup script, you can just say this step is a config builder step, and this is the machine ID of the config builder page I want to reference. And during the setup wizard, it will render the config builder form inside of your setup. It also ties in with the variable module that I mentioned before. So a really good use of that is one of the step types that you can use in the setup module is called variable set, which simply allows you to build, basic forms, and they will save to the variables based on their name. But without the variable module, you would say site name and then text field and then the length of that field, etc. But if you had the variable module, you could just say the name of this variable is site name, and the variable module will do all the heavy lifting for you behind the scenes.
Cool. And I got one more question. Is this something that the site user administrator can kind of invoke themselves? Like with apps, you can always go back to the configure screen and walk through the process again. Is this something that a user could step themselves through, choose to go back through again?
Yes, it is. In only a very basic way. There is a lot of things that I still want to do with this module, but at the moment, there's a few options that you can actually choose, being the developer making the setup script. You can say, on the completion of the setup script, so they've gone through every single slide and hit finish, you can actually tell it to turn the module off. In the case that you did that, then there would actually be no way to revisit that setup script again.
Okay.
Because the whole module will have been disabled. In the case that you leave it on, you can just simply access the URL setup, and that will allow you to go back through it again. The idea is that I sort of want to merge a bit of setup and config builder, because I think, you at least want the setup experience to be somewhat reproducible, maybe not so masked, because what it does out of the box is, if you're familiar with the standard Drupal install.php, which is sort of it looks a bit like the 7 theme, and down the left side it's got which stage you're up to with ticks on the ones that have previously been done.
Right.
Well, the setup module's basic look and feel mimics that as well. So it's sort of like you've gone seamlessly through the install straight into the same experience all the way through. That may be appropriate when you're going through a fresh install or a recently updated, but if you just wanted to revisit some of those settings pages, it may be more appropriate to actually just use the standard admin theme with the standard admin menus still available to you. So I still need to think about exactly what I want to do. Is that something that the person creating the setup script has to deal with, or is that something that the module will allow for? And yeah, you should be able to go back and rerun some of those setup if you need to.
Okay, boom. Great. Well, we're getting close to an hour, and I didn't have any more questions in the notes. Is there anything you wanted to add to the setup module before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think that covers the majority of it. The best thing to really do is have a play with it and, you know, see what you can see yourself. I suppose I should mention that, as I did say, it's a simple syntax similar to the profiler module where you just write it into the info file of your module or theme or install profile. But I have begun work on a user interface where you can actually, you know, build up the steps and then export that code as well for those who don't actually like getting into the dirty coding.
Okay.
But that's to come in the future.
Cool. All right. Well, then let's go ahead and wrap this up. This has been good. All of these modules sound excellent, and I feel like I say that every time I talk to somebody, but it's true. Like, they all seem, I mean, they're really exciting. I think I have tons of thoughts going through my brain about how I can use them, and so I definitely need to start playing with them.
For sure.
All right. Then let's go ahead and wrap this up, and I'll start out by asking you, what is something that you're kind of excited about or you're keeping your eye on that looks really cool and useful?
Sure. I've always got my own things that I can talk about, like more modules that I've got in the works, but I won't. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I have seen a bit about recently and does appeal to me is Spark, the distribution by Acquia to improve the usability of Drupal 7 and maybe potentially get into Drupal 8. Mm-hmm. The videos that they've been churning out the last couple of weeks have been very exciting to see the stuff. Inline editing of content is amazing. The prototype of how to actually lay out your regions for a responsive design, it's all amazing stuff, and I've set it up locally and had a quick play with it, and I look forward to see what, you know, happens with that.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
Yep. And the other thing is DrupalCon Sydney. I just want to, you know, give them a shout out. DrupalCon Sydney is running next year in February in Sydney. Surprise, surprise. And I think that that's a huge thing for Australia to have their first official DrupalCon. And I hope that lots of people will take the time to fly out and come over and participate and, you know, get as much international participation as possible. We can guilt you by saying we do it for you guys. We fly from Australia to Europe and to America every year, a few of us. So it's your turn.
Cool. Well, where can people find out more about you and maybe these projects, things that you're working on?
Yep. My Drupal.org page is probably the best place. I kind of have got a little bit lapse on my personal site, but I also have my portfolio page, which is STUAR.TC, Stuart Clark. I have customformatters.com, which is what I would like as many people who are passionate about formatters or even the concept of open source websites, actually open sourcing the source code of the site, to come along and get involved with. And as I said, all of that source code is on GitHub, and the link will be in the show notes. And then, of course, for any work that we can help you out with, any custom modules that you want written, we do that as Reality Loop. So realityloop.com.
Excellent. Great, Stuart, it's been a fun time talking with you, and I'm really looking forward to playing with these modules. And so thanks for coming on and telling me about them and letting me share this with other people as well.
Yeah, not a problem. And until the next module, I will see you again.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Cheers.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.